It is so lucky to be back with you guys. It's been a month that we were away in Australia, but very, very lucky to be back among people that we know, that we love, that knows us, and that we're on the same journey together, man. So it is really good to be back with you guys. And man, privileged to preach. I was just even this morning getting, as I was getting ready, I was like, you know, what a privilege to that God uses us to preach His word and to that He lays something in my heart for, you know, this morning to bring to us as a church. And that it's not just I said to the guys this morning, you know, I'm not preaching because I'm getting paid by the church because I'm leading this thing, but it's actually God that Paul writes us in Titus at the start of his letter. It's God says that he put the call on him to preach the message of the gospel of faith and to strengthen the churches and to strengthen the believers in their faith. So I don't take it lightly. I it's a real joy for me this morning to come and share God's word with you, man. Are you guys awake? Is by ernstig hier binne. Is hey? Oh, luister jy? Okay. All right. So man, I, you know, just this morning as I was reflecting for this morning, I felt the Lord, you know, even just being back for us, it's been a great joy to be out and ministering in different churches, and I loved it. You know, it was a privilege to travel and then have some holiday in Melbourne, in Australia, which is the first time I've ever had holiday in a foreign country. And but to be back among people that know us, it's probably one of the most profound things that actually, I think even this morning as we had guys join us, you know, to be part of a family where people know you. It's a precious thing, and it's actually God's idea, né? That He adds us to family. We, Marissa and I, wouldn't have any family nearby in Mossel Bay. It's like all our families are somewhere else, you know. But this is it. You guys are it. You're it for us here, you know. You were what we were coming back to. And I was just thinking in Genesis 2, right at the start, God makes Adam, you know, and He says, this is amazing, you know. I made Adam, everything was good until I made him, and then it was very good, you know. All right, men, we can take that one. And God gave him some instruction, okay? And then He told him to do stuff. And then straight after that in Genesis 2, I can't remember the Genesis 2, 18, then the Lord God said, and He looked at Adam and says, it is not good for man to be alone. And He says, I'll make a suitable helper for him. Now this morning, I'm not preaching into marriage, all right? Just for anyone getting excited. But I love that God, right at the start, He looked at a man that He made, and it says he's very good, but He also realized it's not good for you to be alone. And not only talking about having a wife with you or a husband, But I believe right what we see in God's heart is that alone you cannot do it. Yeah. Will Marie always used to say, alone we can go fast, but together we can go far. It is like alone you can maybe do a few things quickly. And I realized that on this trip, you know, in the past when I, you know, traveling to Australia, I think you cross 8 time zones. So you're probably properly shattered by the time you get there. But alone I can take a sleeping tablet, you sleep one night and you wake up and you're back to normal, you know. But with kids you can't afford that because they'll scream all night and you won't wake up, you know. So I was forced this time to be present, and I realized quickly traveling with family you have to slow the pace down. All right. So we're not going fast, but we covered much more ground because we were together. And I've got a helper with me that adds a lot more than what I can do on my own. She really is the better half. And I'm saying that she's not even here. She's there. There you go. But this morning what I want to look at is I want to look at encouragement. Yeah. Encouragement in God's house. And really trusting my heart would be this morning that it's a value and a culture shift that we can have in us as a church. I'm probably going to look at this for a number of weeks, but just the value of encouragement in God's house. Now, many of you might have heard this, but I used to be a track and field athlete, 200 and 400 meters, which is great, you know. It's like, I mean, that gun goes off and you train 5 hours a day to try and take 0.5 seconds of your time, you know. It's like it was a dream, okay? But it's so quick, you know, before you can think the race is over. And then when I stopped competing, I started doing some 5 and 10K races, you know, because even though it's a lot further than what I'm used to, I could still compete because I was like fast. But then one day I was going with some friends of mine from Melkbos that always used to do half marathons and marathons and stuff. And we were on our way to a race. And he said to me, Johannes, I know you entered for the 10K race, but even if you win that race today, it will still be known as the ladies' race and you'll still be walking home. Okay? I was like, what do you mean? And it says, when we're going to get there, you're going to change your entry from the 10K race to the 21K race. Okay? I'm like, what? Okay, and these guys peer pressured me into doing it. Okay? And very quickly, it went from competing in a race that I thought I might podium to survival mode, okay? And it was a trail race that also isn't in a flat, you know, it's like over mountains and whatever. And the most torturous thing about this race also is like, I don't know who if you've done trail races, but there's no one cheering you on, okay? It is just you in the mountain. And they all, you know, I still, it's some form of a competitive brain, so I still ran away from them for some of the race. And then sometimes you just get a little aid station and this big Coke, okay, and it's like whatever, and then you hit it again, okay? It was soul-destroying, man. And then I started now with, it was a terrible circle of friends. I'm joking, it's like, they were good guys, okay? But we started doing like 21Ks over some of the next weekends. And then I entered for a race called the Safari, which is in Wellington. It's a more well-known one, you know? And that one, I grew up in Wellington. I lived in Wellington for 3 years, so I knew the area well. But the whole way, there were people like on the side of the road cheering us on. And like, it was a great vibe. And I tell you, still till today, that was by far my fastest 21K. And I think, even though it was a lot of up and down, but it was the amount of people along the way, come on, rah! And it's like tons of people, and you're always trying to catch the next person, and people cheering you on. And I don't know if you've been there before, you know. But encouragement played such a great deal in finishing the race and finishing well. Now, the funny thing is, like, you didn't have anyone at the halfway race cheering you on and saying, well done, you're halfway, and they're handing out medals. All right? You get the medals at the end. And there's people at the halfway saying, come on, you are halfway, but you still have half to go. And they're cheering us to finish the race. And you know, the same, actually, in the Christian language, especially in Hebrews, it speaks about that our lives with God and our faith with God is like a race. And it says, we actually, we all in a spiritual race, but the point is, the medal is at the end. And none of us, you know, how many of you have friends, and I've had so many friends over the years that start out incredibly fast. And it looks like, man, this guy looks like he fell straight from heaven. It is like everything is here. And then you look two years later and he's not even walking with God anymore. And maybe there was a lot of encouragement along the way. Well done, you're doing so well. But the medal wasn't halfway. It is like we even started singing this morning, Shout to the Lord. And it says, forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. You know, and I'm always thinking when I sing that, it's not just a given that that'll happen. It's we got a long way ahead of us. That it's a race that we're running for God. And it's not just survival mode. And, you know, we're not competing, okay? But we want to do well for God, but it's like we have to run our race till the end. That we can say, like Paul said, I fought the fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith, I'm ready to go to be with God. But we cannot do it alone. And I believe, you know, even in Matthew 24:3, Jesus says this, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And man, my prayer and I feel really even my responsibility to us as a church is that part of what Paul, I read in Titus this morning, I should have written it down now, but he says, part of what I'm here to do is to strengthen in your faith that you can run your race till the end. And I really feel my, you know, part of us as an eldership team and leaders here is that if we do our job well, is it wonder when you die, you'll be with God and you can say, God, I've kept the faith. I ran my race. I did what I wanted to do. I finished the race well. All right? And one of the means that God gives us to endure till the end is through encouragement. Hebrews 10:24. the writer writes this, and he says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together." That's what we said this morning, you know, so we won't forsake meeting together, but we'll keep doing it as some is in the habit of doing, okay? Some are forsaking meeting together, okay? It says, "But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's a weapon that God has given us to spur one another on till the end. And I want to look at a guy this morning called Joseph. All right, now not Joseph in the Old Testament that dreamt all the dreams, but this is a guy called Joseph, and he was from Cyprus. We read about him in Acts 4, and Acts 4:36. It says here that Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. Now you might know who that is, Barnabas. All right, which means son of encouragement. And how's it that Barnabas was a man? He was actually called Joseph, but he had such a nature of encouragement that the apostles look at this guy and they started calling him something different to change his name. And it says, this guy is in his very core is a son of encouragement. Like, and Barnabas is someone that you would have loved to be around. And we see this actually in Barnabas' life as you read about him in Acts and later on again in Titus and Timothy. There are so many influential names that we see. Paul or Saul, and that eventually turned into Paul, Silas, John Mark, James, the brother of Jesus. All these guys worked very closely with Barnabas. And it's like he stirred them into love and good works and to finish their race. He was known as a son of encouragement. It was his purpose, you know. It was who he was, really. And I feel that God actually among us wants to raise up many Barnabases that'll be known as sons of encouragement in this house, that'll stir people in this house to finish the race. Now it says in Acts 11. 22. It says that news of this. So maybe give you context here. It's writing about the church in Antioch, and Antioch was that where Peter had the dream of the blanket that came down, and there was bacon on it, and they could eat of it, which was amazing. And it says that, man, the Holy Spirit came upon those people, and these were Gentiles. Okay, this is a Gentile church. And so news of this reached the apostles, and it's the first time that we, who are non-Jewish, was included in what's happening here. It's amazing, you know. Now, news of this reaches the apostles, and they said, we better send people to check this out. Can it really be that non-Jews can also receive the Holy Spirit? Thank goodness it's true. All right, and they sent Barnabas to go check this out. All right, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all. There we go. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were being brought to the Lord. And just 3 points that I want to bring to us this morning. I think we're going to probably, hopefully, get stuck on encouragement for some time. But I just want to labor 3 points into us this morning. And the first thing is that encouragement is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Encouragement is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, it says here in Acts 11, it says that Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And Barnabas being full of the Holy Spirit, the overflow of what was happening out of his life is that he encouraged. He lived out encouragement. And it's quite interesting, actually, if you look at and I don't often do this, okay, but if you look at the Greek word for encouragement, it is parakleto. Yeah? That's a word that it gives for encouragement. Now, I want to say this morning that if we come alongside someone and parakleto means this, coming alongside or to comfort. That's basically the translation for it. Coming alongside and to comfort. And I want to say this morning, if we come alongside someone and comfort them, we're doing the work of the Spirit. Now, here's why. Because who of you know what the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is? It's parakletos. And so right in that fabric is actually when Jesus said, it's better for you that I go because I'm going to send you the helper, the parakletos. And what he's going to do is he's going to come alongside you and strengthen. And he's going to be called the comforter. And so in the fabric of even the word, doing what God wants us to do is like, it's we are, for me, encouragement is as close as we can, partnering with the work of the Holy Spirit, doing it for one another. It's actually the work of the Holy Spirit coming through men into his house. And that we're partnering with him. You guys see this? You with me? And man, how incredible is it that that in simple encouragement, it's actually like we are doing the work of the Spirit. It is not just sometimes I think because encouragement, like I said to the elders this morning, there's a difference between encouragement and prophecy. Now, prophecy is like we hear from God and we speak it out, and prophecy does encourage and strengthen and build up. But if there's simple encouragement, I'm going to take an example, looking at Vili. Now, I can pray and say, Vili, I feel the Lord says this is what you're going to do. You're going to be great in this. I want you to focus on this. So I strengthen him with that. But if I take prophecy out the way and I look at Vili's life, and I assess who he is and what he's doing and what is the fruit coming out of him. And I consider, I would say this, Vili, you're one of the most upright men that I know. And who you are in this church is you're actually a pillar for us. And you model godliness to us. You're an incredible gift to us. Now, I'm not prophesying to him, but I'm encouraging him from what I can see. And I have to look beyond. I'm getting to know Vili. You won't believe it, but Vili has some cracks, okay, and some flaws here and there. You can ask him about his honesty in board games, okay? And I'm joking. That's a side note. You can ask him afterwards, okay? I'm just teasing, okay? But we're getting to know one another, and as we get to know one another, we do see cracks in one another. But sometimes to look for the gift of God in one another, it's like I have to go through what I can see and I have to look for the evidence of God in one another. And man, I'm just thinking, I'm running a little bit ahead of myself here, but who of you have been discouraged in your walk with God before? Just thinking, I cannot do this. I feel what he's asking me to do, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I don't know if it's encouraging or discouraging, but I've been there plenty of times before, okay, where I'm looking at what God is instructing me to do and what he's asking me, and I was just like, oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't feel qualified enough. I start looking at myself, and I see my own cracks and my own vulnerabilities. It's like, I can't do it. And man, I've been there before, and I remember one specific year, it was actually during elders camp time, and I looked at myself, and I just felt so ill-equipped. I just can't make this. No? And I remember Andrew, it was in the middle of one of his preachers. I couldn't remember what the point of his preach was, but in the middle of his preach, he stops, and there was tons of us sitting there at elders camp, and he says, you know, guys, I just want to tell you that if I ever mess up and I need to just be on someone else's team or be placed in your church where someone can care for me, I'm asking you, put me with Hannes. And he says, I know that he has flaws and I know that he has cracks, but I know that he's going to take me somewhere in God. Put me with that man. Yeah. And I sat there, I mean, probably at the state where I felt the worst equipped to do what God wants me to do. And a father and a brother and a friend in one go strengthens me that I could feel, okay, I can do it. I can remain walking with God. And it stirred me to love and good works. And it wasn't flattery. It's like I know that he genuinely meant it. Yeah. But what it did to my spirit is encourage me to keep running the race. And I want to encourage you, like, who do you need to come alongside and strengthen and encourage and actually do the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life to strengthen them in the love of God? The second point about, and I ran a little bit ahead of myself, but what encouragement does is it gives us the ability to see God at work. And in Acts 11, it says here, you know, when Paul arrived at Antioch, he saw what the grace of God had done and he was glad. Now, Antioch was, it was easy because suddenly, I mean, there was this life of God breaking out among these people, so it was easy to see. But sometimes it is not as easy to see the grace of God in every scenario. You know, you look at someone next to you and you're like, man, I'm trying to find some of the life of God on you, okay? And sometimes it is not that easy. But what encouragement does is when we have to genuinely consider, and I'm not speaking about flattery, you know, it's like, oh, man, you're such a gift to us, no, you're doing so well. I mean, I'd say that sometimes means very little, no? But to genuinely go to find what about you is a gift to us. Why are we glad that you're joining us? Think about those new guys that joined us this morning at studio. Why are we glad they're joining us? And to go to them and say, hey, I don't even know you that well, but and then it turns a little bit more to prophetic. But if you know some of them, just say, hey, I'm really thankful you joining us. We are better because of this. And we're strengthening one another. And let me just get back to my notes here. And, we know one another in this church, most of us, you know someone here well at least. And something about encouragement is to go look for the evidence of God in one another. And I'm wondering, you know, even as I was preparing, when last have we done that with even the people that we know the most? Is to consider, like, let's say I consider Lathan again. And he's glad, okay? And sometimes it just it takes 2 minutes. But to consider his life, the little that I've seen of him, I don't know him that well. Yeah? But can I take time and I consider, where do I see the life of God in this young man? And I can just encourage him to run his race well. And I stir him to love and good works. Have we done that with one another recently? Or are we very, because I want to tell you, man, it's easy to see mistakes. No? Yeah. I always tell guys this when we do leadership training. It's like, don't think when you can see mistakes in church that you're an apostle. Yeah. It's easy to see mistakes. Everyone can see the faults, okay? What makes you an apostle if you know well how to fix it? Okay, that's what sets the guys apart, okay? But to see mistakes, everyone can see it. But can you see the life of God in one another and encourage one another and to recognize God in this? Going off my notes here. And man, also, isn't it what God does with us? That as he looks at us, I'm sure if God wants to, he can write me a list of 2,000 things that is probably wrong with me at this very moment, you know. And yet he doesn't do that. Sometimes he comes and he tweaks us with one or two things at a time. But how often do we, like, even the word says that God looks at us no longer through our lens who we are, but if we are hidden in his Son, that's what he sees. And he looks for the evidence of Christ in us. And how many times have you had where God actually comes and he just says, well done with this. Well done with this. And you think, you know, there's so many things that I could have done better, but God actually, as a father, comes and he says, well done with this. And God encourages us. And I'm looking at an example, you know, of the Corinthian church. And if you read through especially the first letter of the Corinthians, this was probably the most horrific church out there during the time, you know. They were terrible in many ways. Some of the stuff, like, they weren't looking after the poor. So they say they're having bring and shares, and everyone's just chowing his own stuff, and the poor people are sitting outside. And then he says, also the bring and shares, most of the church is getting drunk. All right? When else have you been to that one? Okay? And don't go to them, okay? But now there's, like, man, there's gluttony and there's all sorts of forms happening here. They're not looking after the poor. They also, this is believers are taking one another to court. So brothers are taking one another to court that did business together, and there's court cases happening between Christians, and Paul's rebuking them for this, you know? And then also there's a man sleeping with his stepmother. All right? And the problem is the rest of the church is going, how amazing is this? Like, isn't the grace of God amazing? And you're like, oh my goodness, okay, this church is in deep trouble, all right? And if I knew what was going on in the Corinthian church at that time, okay, I probably would start my letter like this, like, shame on you guys. Fix yourself, okay? What are you thinking? That would be my intro. Okay, it's like, what are you guys doing? Okay, but Paul starts his letter like this in 1 Corinthians 1:4. He says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. That's how he starts his letter. I always thank God for you. And man, can we be those people that in the most trickiest of times, that when we consider one another who God has added to us here, somehow by the mystery of his ways to this body, that we can say, God, we genuinely thank you for these people. And that we thank God for one another. Hey? So not as many amens to that, okay? But we see you with Paul that it's the heart of God coming through a man. And yes, he does correct them later, okay? So that doesn't leave them for. We know those things because it actually highlights it, okay? But his heart that he has is he comes to encourage them and strengthen him. It's like the heart of God coming through man here, doing the work of the Spirit. And man, I pray, you know, I want to say, I felt this, if you ever want to pray, God, would you teach me to love well? God is probably going to put the most unlovable people in your life. Have you felt this before? And say, God, I'll love anyone else, not this person. All right? But what he's interested in is, he's interested in forming his heart in you for his people. It's not just those that can offer us something or that we can get something in return. It's like it puts something in us that we really have to learn, because that's what you were like to him, by the way. All of us. Very unlovable. Very much nothing to offer. Even our good works, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. And it says, now I'm going to teach you to love like I've loved. And it forms that in us. Eugene Peterson is an author. He says this, that the church is one part mystery and one part mess. And then it's true. Because God somehow, who of you were born in Mossel Bay? Quick roll call. Anyone born in Mossel Bay? All right. Like, man, maybe 10 of you. 10 of you. 5, okay? Who of you were born outside of Mossel Bay? And yet here we are. Now, sometimes the mystery of God is this, that God brings us from all sorts of places all together, and he puts us together in Mossel Bay. And he says, reflect me here. We weren't born here. God has brought us here together. We're broken people. With a bunch of cracks, and then he says, now I want you to become one and reflect me. It's a mystery, but it's also a mess. And then he says, but man, how sad would it be if we just look at the mess and we correct. But can we have the heart of God, actually like Paul had, and he says, I always thank God for you guys. I thank you that he's given you more than enough to grow in the knowledge of God, and that you have everything in you to reflect God because of Jesus. Amen? And then just the third point is that encouragement helps us to remain faithful to the Lord. Now, in verse 23 in Acts 11, I love how the ESV says it. It's probably one of my favorite verses. It says, when he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And I love that this, as a brother, he came alongside them and he says, you guys need to remain faithful to God till the end. With purpose. And I wonder, you know, often I think people fall off the side because either they've broken faithfulness with God and they've lost purpose of what he's called them to. And Paul's actually saying, no. Remain faithful to God with steadfast purpose. Now, it's interesting, why would the emphasis be on faithfulness? And I think it's because Paul knew, you know, writing to this young church, he says he knew that the Christian life is going to be hard. He knew it. He felt it. He knew that it's going to be temptations for us to drift. He knew that there's going to be difficult circumstances to walk out. And he calls them to remain faithful to God. And friends, I want to say one of the greatest gifts that we have actually with one another being added to a body is that we can encourage one another and strengthen one another to remain faithful to God, to keep our eye on the prize and to remain faithful with purpose. Amen. Because it's only those who remain faithful to the end, the Bible says, that will be saved. So what help will it be if we have one another, but there's so many losing at the halfway mark and quitting the race, but they haven't run their race till the end. And this example of a guy called Jeremiah in the Bible. Now, interesting, Jeremiah was a man that had a great call of God in his life, and God made no secret about it. He encouraged him a lot about that. But Jeremiah had a lot of opposition during his lifetime, and a lot of people that rose up against him. And we see, especially in the early book or in the early pieces of Jeremiah, that he like complains towards the Lord. You know, he's trying to wrestle this thing out with God. And then I wanted to look at that quickly. It's complaining towards the Lord. I often, when I consider that, for who of you does that have a negative connotation to? You cannot complain towards the Lord. Yeah? And because remember what happened to the Israelites, you know. But the Israelites mumbled and grumbled and they moaned without going to God about it. Just manna again, manna again. Yeah? They moaned about God. And they moaned, he brought us, we were in Egypt, it was so lekker, you know, we had all the meat pots and whatever. They forgot how they were in slavery, beaten the whole day. You know? But they just moaned about it. And they didn't speak to God about it. But we've seen Jeremiah, actually it's a healthy complaining, maybe we can call it this, an honesty towards God. Just saying, God, this is very hard. What are you asking me here to do? It is extremely hard. I don't know how I'm going to do it. These people come against me. I might die. He's honest towards God. And God is actually drawn to that. And friends, I want to say for many of you here going through trials and stuff as well, some of you, maybe I felt this, have potentially got a fake relationship with God because you're almost ignoring what's going on. And it was like, I remember there was someone in a previous congregation that was part, and you asked this guy, I know that his life is falling apart, okay? Like really, like it was in serious dwang. Né? And every time I ask him, hey man, how's it going? Nee, goed man, lekker by die see. And you're like, there's no reality to that. I know that. It is not lekker by die see even. You can't afford to stay at the see anymore. It's like there's nothing lekker about your life at the moment. And I for years I tried to get this guy, just when I ask you, just be honest with me. Nee? And I wonder sometimes if God is like that with us. And we're speaking to God, it's like, oh God, thank you for this lekker new day. God, thank you for... And friends, man, I know, please hear me. I'm maybe swinging the things here. Thanksgiving is important. And we do need to recognize what God is doing. But I also think what God is looking for from some of you is like is honesty towards Him. Is to say, Lord, I really feel like I'm struggling. And if I consider what you want to do in my life, it's like I feel like I'm so far from that. And Lord, I don't know where I am. It's like, but we always end in Thanksgiving. We want to find ourselves there. But 60% of the Psalms is David lamenting towards the Lord. Saying, God, there's all these people against me. There's like, man, I don't know how many stuff has died, and I've got my own friends that want to kill me, and it's like my son has deserted me. He's taking over the kingdom from me. Like he's honest towards God about his emotions, but he always ends with thanksgiving. Now, that's just a side note. It's not part of the day, but I felt like honest complaining towards the Lord. It actually learns us to be honest towards God, and we come to Him with it. It's like we go to God with it. We didn't go to everyone else with it. All right. But sinful complaining is moaning about it, moaning about the Lord, but not even coming to Him about it. It's like moaning about wherever we are with God. And who have you seen that part as well? I mean, someone just always moans about everything. And I've asked, have you prayed to God about it? And I think actually that's sinful. And there, I often think, you're going to stay in this desert for another 40 years if you don't learn how to exit this sinful pattern that you have. So that's just a side note. But anyway, back to Jeremiah, is we see that Jeremiah's honest with the Lord, and he's coming to God, and in a sense, what he's looking for is he's looking for some encouragement from God. That God will say to him, "Oh, Jeremiah, I know I'm asking so much of you. Just come and sit here for a month, just chill it out a bit, take a deep breath, and then we'll go again." You know, that's the encouragement he's looking from the Lord for. But Jeremiah 12, this is God's encouragement to Jeremiah, and he says this to him. He says, "If you've raced with men on foot, and they've worn you out, how will you be able to compete with horses?" What is he saying to him? He says, Jeremiah, your life has only started out now. There's so much that I want to do through you, but somehow you've only run with men, but I've called you to run with the horses. And he's saying to him like, yes, I know that it's been hard, but there's a lot more stuff coming. This is God's encouragement to Jeremiah. And in a sense, he's saying to him, Jeremiah, you're going to have to toughen up. You're gonna have to learn that I haven't called you to just park here by the wayside, but I've called you to much more. You need to man up and come into more. And then he said to him, if you stumble in the safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Now, what was going on in the thickets of the Jordan? And the Jews knew that in the thickets of the Jordan was where the lions lived. And so now he's saying, you're suffering while you're living in a city, but I've actually called you to be out there in the wild. And how are you going to make it if now already you're stumbling when I've called you to be among lions? And sometimes, you know, what we would have think, if I was God writing to Jeremiah, in this scenario, I would have said, Jeremiah, I can see that it's been really hard on you. People are terrible, eh? Like, they work your soul. And I think what you deserve is a good sabbatical. And so why don't you just exit the city for 6 months, catch a breath, and then we'll try again. We often think that's encouragement of God. And sometimes God does do that. Now, please hear me. I'm all for rest, okay? Rest is biblical. It is godly. It is a good thing. We have to do it, okay? But sometimes there are times where God is actually calling us, and often it comes through one another, is actually say, my friend, I can see that you're struggling, but what God has for you now is not to slow down. You've been called to way more. And I want to come alongside you today, and I want to remind you to remain faithful to God with steadfast purpose. You haven't been called to slow down. I remember with Seasway specifically, I didn't even check with you if I could share this, but when I wanted to use Seasway for a bit more in terms of community leading and the worship overseeing, he was very scared, okay? And all that I've heard is, I'm not going to make it. I don't have capacity. I don't want to. And I was like, oh, man, you're 29. Come now. And I was talking there. But it was real. But I could see that in him, God has called him to a lot more than to just whatever he was carrying at that moment. And if I do think I would have gone wrong if this says, I could take another 2 years and then we assess again. Yeah, Lily's all for this, okay? Actually, the encouragement of God at that moment was like, you're getting tired running with men, but you're actually supposed to run with horses. You're supposed to be wild. And how good is he doing, actually, since he stepped into more? And I haven't asked you this because I'm scared to find out. But I'm sure that there are aspects where he's getting tired and where he's feeling the pain of it, when it is a lot of pressure. But aren't we all benefiting from the grace that is on his life? It's true. I'm in that. And so, friends, I think there's many of us here actually in this hall that are struggling. And I want you to consider, don't think about yourself here now. Think about the rest of the people in this church. People that are struggling to remain faithful to God with steadfast purpose. And actually that God wants to come, and today what it feels, he wants to give us as a church the ministry of encouragement alongside with his Holy Spirit. And say, you've been called to strengthen my people, to come alongside, to comfort, and to remind them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He's giving it to us. So just as I'm landing this, is this helpful? Is it landing well? I can't read you guys this morning. But in Hebrews, Hebrews basically, the context of Hebrews is there were Jews that were starting to struggle with the core of Christianity, that it became much following God. And we see that some of them wanted to go back to the Mosaic law. They wanted to go back to the old ways, to Judaism patterns or whatever. And the writer of Hebrews basically starts, and I think I spoke about it last week, where he says, Hebrews 1 is that God is greater than the angels. God is greater than the prophets. God is, that Jesus was greater than these guys. Jesus is greater than these. Like, and he just makes much of Jesus. And he's saying to them, don't go back to the former ways. Come back to Jesus. Remain with Jesus, you know. And then he says in Hebrews 3, he says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily. How's that? Not once a year. It's actually saying, encourage one another daily in the severe, like where you're wrestling with your, it says actually to label it a sinful, unbelieving heart that it wants to turn away. It says, no. Get alongside these guys and encourage one another daily as long as it is called today so that you may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. So what Paul's right, or not Paul, the writer of Hebrews, whoever he was, is coming alongside them. He says, how do we actually overcome sin and a hardened heart? It's encouragement. Encouragement to remain focused on the living God. Powerful, eh? And I, you know, friends, hopefully over the next while we can actually dig into this quite a bit. That I want to, because I think it's something that we're going to have to. Learning a new culture takes a time. Man. It really takes a while to breed a new culture in us. I was just, you know, in Australia, there's a lot of similarities that we have, but there's also a lot of like very different cultures that we have. One of what they say, we're quite brash in how we speak, okay? And to try and adapt to the same culture, it's taking a lot of time, né? But learning a new culture in church, is we cannot hear a message once and just think that that's not going to be part of my daily living. We're actually going to have to exercise it, work with it, take what God is saying to us and put it into practice. And I really feel what God wants to do with us as a people is he wants to shift our talk and our thoughts from seeing the wrong and speaking about that to looking for where God is at work and speaking that and stirring one another. And so I wanna get back to the first question that I had referring to Barnabas and actually doing the ministry of the Holy Spirit in encouragement. Is I want to ask you this question, is who is there that you need to come alongside and that you need to strengthen with genuine encouragement? And I'm not talking about flattery or prophecy here, but I'm talking about looking for the evidence of God in someone's life and stirring them into that. I feel it's so needed for us. And friends, I really want to say that as I was praying for us in this week, my greatest desire is this, that I've prayed for you guys. And I said, Lord, I pray that everyone that is sitting here this morning will run their race to the very end. And I didn't know that Hentus was going to start with shout to the Lord this morning, but I was like, when we were saying that, forever I'll love you and forever I'll stand. I said, oh God, I pray that forever we will love you and forever we'll stand. But here's the thing is, I know that I cannot do it on my own. I cannot do it. Just in this week, I had a long phone call with Andrew and he tweaked me on something. But even in the tweaking, he just encouraged me. He says, I can see this. I recognize so much of myself in you. I know that God is at work with you. But change this so that you can go for what God has for you. Like even in the tweaking, he encouraged me, he strengthened me. And I feel there's some of you that actually needs to commit to this morning. So I feel it's time. Not waiting, who's going to encourage me? Who's going to encourage me? But I'll be the encourager. I want to become someone that carries the ministry of encouragement in my life, that I can strengthen God's church to run till the very end. And so I want to ask maybe this morning, why don't we just stand and I'm going to land us there.